This Sustainability Week report is made possible in part by Minnesota Power's Energy Conservation Program at mnpower.com. Wrapping up our Sustainability Week coverage this week with a conversation with Jody Slick from Equilibrium 3. We welcome her back to KUMD. Good morning, Jody. How are you doing?
Good morning. I am doing well, and you?
Just fine, thanks. I think it's a lovely day outside today. Hopefully tomorrow the weather looks like it'll be great for the Harvest Festival down in Bayfront, and I understand you're going to have a booth down there tomorrow.
Yeah, there's actually an entire energy fair that happens each year with the Harvest Festival. So there's vendors from solar companies to your utilities. If you want to learn more about the programs they have, there'll be a fleet of EVs or your plug-in electric vehicles. And there's even going to be a solar boat there this year, which I think will launch kind of at the end of the fair near Pier B. So there's going to be a lot of fun that's happening there, and people can learn about everything from those, you know, low-hanging fruit energy efficiency things that they should be doing, like getting an energy audit and making a few changes before winter comes, all the way up to the newer technologies.
It's surprising how much of a savings can be appreciated or enjoyed, I don't know quite what the word is, can be obtained, I guess, by a few simple things around the house, ceiling windows and better insulation in the doors and things like that. It's actually, it is, as you say, low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, and you know what's I think really great is the energy fair is an opportunity for people to talk with the utilities, to talk to an organization like Equilibrium 3 that partners with the utilities on doing energy audits. Mm-hmm. Because we have the tools these days and we know the technology to be able to go in and give very individualized plans. And so you can learn through an energy audit, and there's a free version, and then there's a little bit more of an advanced version that might cost a little bit of money. But what will end up happening is you will actually get a personalized plan that says, if you do this, which we expect will cost a certain amount, this is how much money you'll save each year. So you can really look at your home not only from a performance and a comfort point of view, but you can look at it from, you know, a smart investment point of view, too, with the help of an energy audit.
And I've often heard people say, too, that even if it seems as if the savings versus the initial cost is closer to even just being a wash, that it's still the right thing to do because of the way that we use energy, the way that we consume energy. It's a healthier choice to make in the long run.
Yeah, and most of the things that are going to be suggested are during the life of that improvement absolutely going to pay for itself at least once. Some people like things that are going to pay for themselves in less than a year. You know, others are ready to make the investment because they need a new furnace, and so they're making an investment. And that's going to take longer to pay back, but it is absolutely, as we look at our climate challenges, as we look at the fact that energy does get more expensive, they are the right decisions to make.
And there are a lot of things in our community these days. I feel like this is more of a conversation topic that's widespread. It used to be, I think, people who were really a bit more kind of hip to this stuff. But now with LED bulbs, I mean, just the conversation about conservation, about energy reduction is definitely more in the zeitgeist of our city. And I feel like Duluth has been doing a lot of things for that.
Yeah, Duluth has. I think there's everything from what the individual can do to really some leadership that's happening from the city and from the organizations and institutions that are in Duluth. There's a lot of kind of cutting-edge innovation and forward progress that we're making on climate. This year, as the city passed their comprehensive plan, the city has in that plan formalized their commitment to the 80% carbon reduction by 2050, which is what we know worldwide needs to happen. And in fact, there's a lot of course, movement to try to make that happen even sooner. And so the Harvest Fest is down at Bayfront Festival Park starting from 10 to 4. But also, it's kind of the worldwide People's Climate March Day. And so Duluth will also be hosting a climate march on Saturday that will begin at the American Indian Community Housing Organization, which this past year put a lovely solar array on their roof right underneath the mural of their water protector. And that the climate march starts at 10 a.m. there. We'll proceed up to City Hall and kind of end at Harvest Fest at about 12:30. And if people want to join that, they can learn about the environmental side and a whole bunch of things that are going on, and then come down and enjoy Harvest Fest. But in addition, there, you know, some of the things that have been happening recently in the city of Duluth, we've got the city with their district energy system. As everybody knows, we've been replacing the pipes in Superior Street. So being able to kind of change from a one-way steam system and being able to get into looped hot water is a huge progress for the efficiency of that system. But even kind of more importantly, as we talk about the climate, is the city has been able to move that system with their partner Evergreen Energy, has been able to move that from mainly a coal-based facility into being able to use natural gas. And in this next year, kind of that next evolution of sustainability will be happening as the city has entered into agreement in which we're going to be able to burn renewable fuel oil. So it's a fuel oil product that's actually based on waste wood. And so that, as we talk about the carbon footprint, because our district energy system at one point was 70% of the carbon footprint of kind of municipal operations, is a huge impact. So as Mayor Larson had committed to wanting to get a 15% carbon reduction done during her first term, with the work that has already happened on the conversion to natural gas, we've reached that, and this next step will make that even better.
Fantastic.
Yeah, we also have an organization like the Western Lake Superior Sanitary District. They have been working on multiple energy projects, but what they have, they're working on increasing what they call their digester capacity, and that's basically where we, you know, have the microorganisms that help eat what we send down our sewers to produce biogas. And then that biogas can be used to produce in a system called combined heat and power. They can produce on site a lot of the energy that they need to actually run that facility, because if you look at something like WLSSD, their electricity cost for processing all of our waste is kind of their largest non-payroll expense. And
right.
So they're working on trying to get to where they can at least be producing, you know, a third to about a half of their energy on site. And that's a model that other type of facilities like that can be following.
Biogas, is that methane?
Yep.
Wow. That's great. I mean, that's fantastic. I mean, why not? You've got the fuel coming down the pipe, so to speak. So that makes perfect sense.
Exactly. And you have the DTA, is upgrading their fleet and are going to have actually more electric and hybrid buses.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the city has been looking at, and this is an area of sustainability that also very much crosses into what we talk about being resilient. You know, we know after we've had these waves on the lake that have caused problems, as we've had windstorms, as we've had our flood, that making sure that our energy systems are also resilient are important. And so the University of Minnesota Duluth and some very talented professor there, Dr. Allison Hoxie, has been working with the city of Duluth, and the city participates in the Climate Smart Municipalities program in an exchange with Germany. And so kind of that combination of individuals have been exploring, when we think about our water pumping and treatment plant out in the lakeside area, how can we make sure that that's resilient so that we don't lose our water system if we were to have another blowdown,
right,
like we had a couple of years ago. And again, that work is really kind of cutting edge of looking at how do you do perhaps a combined or hybrid system where you've got both kind of the backup generators, but you also have solar that can kind of feed into the system year-round, but then also play a role if there were that type of power outage moving forward.
We're speaking with Jody Slick from Ecolibrium 3, and looking forward to the Harvest Festival tomorrow. The Climate March, you said, starts at 10 o'clock down at the American Indian Community Housing Organization. That's on West 2nd Street, and it's a great day tomorrow. I would love to know, I mean, if we really look at where we're headed and looking toward, you know, an 80% carbon footprint reduction, and that's, it seems like an enormous challenge, but all these steps that we're taking seem to just be sort of chipping away at that and getting us toward that goal, which is wonderful. But I always wonder if there is some huge challenge out there that we would love to be able to solve, some, you know, a better solar panel, something that's like, what is the biggest challenge in energy reduction that we're facing right now?
You know, I think that when we, a lot of organizations and governments, when they're talking about how do you get to that 80% reduction, there are multiple pathways. There's even a really fascinating kind of international report that looks country by country as to how that can be achieved. You know, I think that one of the big challenges and what a lot of people are working towards is what we call the equitable deep decarbonization. And what that means is that right now, even when we think about energy efficiency, the people who live in the homes that are the most energy efficient are actually the people who could afford to pay more for their energy. We look at where our low-income people live. Often the buildings themselves, because there are older, leakier homes, will consume about 39% more energy.
Wow.
So it's not just about this idea of how do we get to that carbon reduction, but how do we do it in a manner that those that are most affected by climate change, by changing energy prices, et cetera, are the ones that are most helped as we move through this transition. So the concept of equitable deep decarbonization and the pathway that we talk about in the Midwest is really looking at this idea of we need to electrify everything. We need to electrify our transportation sector. We need to electrify our heating sector, et cetera. But in order to meet our carbon reductions, then we need our electricity sector to actually be decarbonized. And so the work that has been happening by our local utility, moving towards more solar, towards more wind, that's a great start. But that, in order to meet our goals in the next 10, 15, you know, 25 years, we need to continue to have that move forward and probably even accelerate that pace. And you are starting to see that conversation kind of nationwide as you have states that are talking about going to 100% renewable, as you have individual communities that are moving towards that 100%, you know, but we need to do it in a manner in which it's honestly, as cool as they are, not about making sure anyone who can afford a Tesla gets a Tesla.
Well put. Jody, thanks so much. We appreciate your wisdom and look forward to the festival tomorrow. We'll see you there.
Great. Yep. Have a good day.
Take care. Jody Slick from Ecolibrium 3 here in Duluth. They'll have a booth down at the Harvest Festival tomorrow in Bayfront Park and reminding us about the People's Climate March that's starting tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. on West 2nd Street. This Sustainability Week report made possible in part by Minnesota Power's Energy Conservation Program at mnpower.com.